Have you talked to Randall at all?
I have not spoken to Randall. My understanding is he is en route to Green Bay.
How scary initially was that injury?
How scary was the injury? I mean, I think any time you have to, you know, take one of your players in and then they're transported to the hospital, it's definitely I would put it in a category of concern, you know, of high concern.
Any long-term concern, Mike, or do you think he's going to be okay?
No, I would say no without getting into specifics of what you know what the injury is. That the fact that he's been able to be transported, you know, today, I think is obviously a very good sign.
So what's the next day or three like for you now?
Well, we're still in the exit interview process. Today, I had the opportunity to speak to about 25 of the veterans, and tomorrow I'll complete the rest of the football team. That'll take all day tomorrow, and then Wednesday we'll start with our coaching staff.
It's easy to say in hindsight, but after the Hail Mary, you guys had all that momentum. Could you guys consider or talk about going for two, or was it just good to see in the overtime?
Well, I think anytime you're in that position, you consider all your options. The 2-point conversion was definitely an option, but it wasn't the right option. I think that's clearly understood. If you just look at the game, I understand how analytics plays in the game management, but you know, from my viewpoint, you look at the numbers, but you also got to take in, you know, the flow of the game and things that are going on in the football game. And to be more specific, the way our defense was playing, I had great confidence in stopping Arizona's offense, and frankly, where we were as far as you know, our young guys at receiver and the 2-point plays that we had available, I wasn't comfortable with those particular calls, because obviously with the review of Jeff Janis' touchdown there, we had plenty of time to talk about it.
Do you plan on keeping the play calling next season? And do you think you'll also go back to the model of having a wide receiver as coach only?
Well, those are really conversations that'll start Wednesday. But I mean, I'll just tell you the first part. I will be calling the plays from here on in. So, and how we structure our staff. That's really what lies ahead.
Mike, do you think it was worth at least trying it the way you did it to start the off season? I mean, do you still feel good about your decision that way, or you know, is it something that was a mistake in your estimation?
Well, I think anytime you make change, I mean, you look at it every year, the things that you change and the things that you adjust, the things you need to emphasize. That obviously was a big change. It was a different type of change with the structure that we put forth offensively. The intention and what I was trying to accomplish as far as being a balanced, well-rounded football team, I definitely felt that part was accomplished defensively and special teams, just what I was trying to get done from that standpoint. But the obvious, we did not get it done on offense. So, I mean, the structure, was obviously part of the failure on offense. So that's something that will be closely evaluated.
Hey, Mike, one of my personal shortcomings is probably pride. I would have a hard time coming back if I was Tom after the way things played out. Do you expect him to be back next year?
Yeah, I really don't agree with the question as far as pride, because, you know, I think a lot, I mean, without going into the total details of everything involved, which obviously I'm not going to do, and I said it here clearly, the day that the change was made, it really wasn't about Tom. It wasn't about Tom calling plays. Tom's a valued assistant coach and has been my whole time here, and I fully anticipate him being back. But, you know, once again, we have a staff structure that is under total evaluation, and that process will start Wednesday.
Hey, Mike, how did Ron get the special teams to – you know, make the jump that you guys made this year, and are you pleased with that?
Well, I thought Ron Zook did a great job. You know, Jason also was outstanding and really started from day one, getting in there in the spring and frankly going through every page of the playbook, throwing out as much as we possibly could. and just really narrowing down on the basics and fundamentals. You know, frankly, it was a process that personally I enjoyed because it's been a few years. I went through the same process a few years back with Sean Slocum. So starting with that process, and then they just did a great job coaching it. I mean, Ron has a ton of energy, and the fact of the matter is, if you look at the history of a design of our football team from a personnel standpoint, our units are always going to be very young, which most teams in the league are young on special teams. And I thought we did a really good job of staying true to the fundamentals. Ron did a very good job with the scheme as far as the number of things that we adjusted to each week just to make sure we were challenging our opponents schematically. But at the end of the day, it came down to the fundamentals, and I think it clearly was reflected in our coverage units. Because to me, when you look at the identity of a football team, the soul of your football team has to show up in the way you run the football, the way you defend the run, and the way you cover kicks, both punt and kickoff, and also the way you rush, whether it be field goal rush, punt rush, or pass rush and things like that. So just that commitment to that identity of what we were trying to get done as a football team, I think we made great strides in that area.
Mike, as you look at the end of your seasons recently, all these playoff losses have been close games, come down to the end. As you reflect, why hasn't your team been able to make the play at the end, do you think? And how much of a grind is that to year after year be right there and just not be able to make that play or two to get over the hump?
I mean, that's, your question, frankly, and from my viewpoint and obviously in my opinion because I'm behind a microphone here, is not practical to the game of football. I mean, the fact of the matter is each one of these seasons is different. Each one of these football teams I've coached is different. The 2015 football team is much different than the team last year, 2014, regardless of the fact how the game ended. We were we put ourselves in position to win games. I thought our team was really prepared for this game, and I thought they played to that. But the fact of the matter is, it's about opportunities. It's about big plays. I've talked about big play production here all the time. Our football team clearly understands that big plays in the National Football League is really no different than the fundamental of tackling and handling the football and blocking, because you have to make big plays in this league to be successful. And the fact is, we had opportunities to make some big plays that we didn't, and they made the big play there in overtime. And that's what the game come down to. So to take a history lesson down the negative trail, I personally don't lump them together like that. They're all different cases on how all three of those overtime losses ended. Trust me, I know more about it than you do, as far as exactly what happened, why it happened, and who it happened with, and all the elements involved leading up to those situations. And at the end of the day, I know I do, and our football team will sleep well because they put everything they had into that game, Saturday night, and no different than the last time those things happened. So I personally don't look at it that as, I think it's conveniently to lump things like that, and I don't view it that way.
Looking back at your regular season, is one of your bigger concerns the fact that you guys lost your division, the NFC North opponents here at home at Lambeau Field?
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, that's, it's definitely against the pattern of our success in winning home games and definitely, winning division games. So I think it's like anything. We talk about the fundamentals of football. We're excessive in our training of ball drills and take, obviously a lot of pride in the way our perimeter people particularly handle the football. And it has to show up during the games. So, and it's no different than division games. We put a lot of time in preparing for division games. And, when you don't win those at home, it's obviously concerning. But then, on the flip side of it, we went all three on the road. So, go figure. But you have to win your home games. I mean, that's the formula for any playoff team. We did not do, a good enough job in that area this year. And that'll be part of our offseason evaluation.
Mike, so as long as you feel like you guys put everything you could into it, you're able to, we function differently, I guess, because that many close losses would really be hard for me to take, to think that I was this close to things being so different. How do you move so easily past that or not let that eat at you?
Well, I mean, easily past it, I mean, doesn't eat at me. I don't understand why I even have to answer those questions. I think it's human nature that when you don't reach the level of success that you're striving for, you know. But you know, the fact of the matter is that's the way this game is. I mean, and that's the beauty of this game. I mean, it's the most competitive environment that I've ever been exposed to, and that's why, you know, I love doing what I do. What was the first part of your question? Because I got kind of.
You know, you were just saying that you're able to sleep at night as long as you think that you guys did everything you could, and I guess that makes sense. But just, I don't know, that's a hell of a lot of close losses in really big games.
Would you rather us lose by two touchdowns? Is that? I mean, I guess I'm trying to understand your logic.
Do you think it's easier when you get your butt kicked to move on past it and say, "Well, this team was just far better than my team," as opposed to Saturday night where you have to think?
Well, I would classify that statement there as a loser mentality, and I can tell you one thing: we don't have a loser mentality here. So, it's in the bricks of this place, and we know the history. We take full responsibility for the expectations here. We're not scared to talk about winning world championships and what you have to do to win world championships. The fact of the matter, we were a successful football team this year. We just did not reach the level of success that we wanted to attain. So. That's the reality of the game of football, in my opinion.
The Eddie that you had the last 2 years back as opposed to the kind of year that he had this year?
Well, I mean, you know, Eddie Lacy's got a lot of work to do. I think I'm stating the obvious. His offseason last year was not good enough, and he never recovered from it. So I had a chance to talk to Eddie today, and that was pretty much the majority of our whole conversation. So he has to get it done because he cannot play it the way that he played it this year.
You guys have been a real steady as it goes franchise for basically the whole time you've been here. Did you see anything this season that you think requires substantive change, especially on offense with the dip you had on that side of the ball?
Well, I think you have to look at everything. I mean, you know, that's why I believe in the filter of change, you know, adjust and emphasize. And we will change. There'll be changes. I don't have them for you here today. There'll definitely be a lot of adjustments. You do that every year. And frankly, we've been fortunate enough that we've had a lot of success, and there'll be a lot of things that we emphasize and things that we make sure that we continue to do and continue to carry over. So, you know, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, the way we practice, the nutrition tied to the strength and conditioning and in the training room, I mean, there's an area there that definitely needs to get better. So we can improve in a number of different areas.
When you look at the core of the team, is it good enough? Do you think you got the piece that you have in place to get to that world championship you're just talking about?
I mean, it's a pretty general question. I mean, core of your football team.
Well, the guys who are under contract. Let's just leave it.
I like where we are as far as the people under contract. Frankly, I couldn't really sit here and go through that. I'm not ready to talk about, the personnel position that we're in. You know, frankly, we met yesterday. Ted went to the East-West game last night. So really, this week is my focus is on the players, spending time with each and every one of them before they leave town, and then start with the coaches. And frankly, I think Ted and I will not sit down and go through the whole board again for probably another 2 weeks.
Mike, as you look back, how well do you think you adjusted to not having Jordy during the course of the year?
Well, I would say, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I thought we did a lot of really good things. You know, even leading into that game and even during the last game, I thought there was a lot of things that, you know, you felt really good about. I thought the game plans, the aggressiveness and so forth. If I was going to be critical of one of the things on offense that we didn't do a good enough job of, we didn't handle the injuries, not let alone Jordy, the left tackle. There's you have to help people at times in each and every season. It's part of your game planning. It's part of your strategic makeup when you get into game planning. And when we had uphill matchups, we didn't do a good enough job helping that individual. So. I don't really put Jordy in that category because Jordy was lost, you know, in Pittsburgh in the preseason, and we had plenty of time to adjust. And I think the way we started the season, you could make a case that we did adjust to it.
Is there anything that Jeff Janis could have done to get on the field earlier this season? And with his success in his last game, does that kind of set him up with a good offseason to kind of have a significant role in offense this upcoming year?
Well, I think Jeff Janis is another one of those examples you look for. I mean, you look for players to take a jump in their second year. And, some guys do it at different points in the season. You know, frankly, you know, Jeff Janis and Jared Abadaris on probably another, from another different angle because their paths are totally different. They need to earn their opportunities just like every player before them to get on the field quicker. So when I look at Jeff, I thought he struggled in preseason, frankly. I had him in my office for a film session and so forth, and I thought he really picked it up on special teams, and then I thought he had a hell of a year playing special teams, and you just see him getting better and better each and every week. He did some big time things for us, and then really as a receiver, he was inconsistent, had some chances, up and down, but with that, I think he definitely learned from those experiences, and it just had a tremendous game against Arizona. And I think what's really so impressive about not only just Jeff's performance as a receiver, we didn't take him off special teams either. So it was really the first time in my career as a play caller, you're down to three wide receivers, and there's a lot of things that you like out of your subs, your sub offensive sets, where you had to kind of regulate how many deep routes they were running. Just because, he was gassed. If there was ever a picture of, one of your teammates putting it all out on the field, he definitely, you definitely saw that on the last catch, on the Hail Mary, because, playing special teams and playing that many snaps and that many deep crossing routes that was something that we really wanted to do a lot of against their defense. So we weren't able to do as much as we'd liked in the second half. I thought both him and Jared did a hell of a job.
The way you guys have this defense structure right now and how you use Clay this year, is that how you see him in the future now and kind of what his role will be?
My goal with Clay is for him to play outside linebacker. That's always been the case. I've never really made any bones about it. I think it shows the type of player Clay is, just as far as, the type of teammate that he is to go inside and in the play as much as he did really full-time there. The matchup part of it was really always my goal. There's things specifically that he does from that position that we'll continue to do because he's a great weapon. He's so disruptive, and it gives you obviously an opportunity to match him up versus offensive personnel from that location. Obviously a lot better than playing the outside position, but he needs he's an outside linebacker. And we need to get back to him playing there and just going inside when needed, or just to change the targeting, challenge for the offense and things like that. That's the goal, but we'll see what the offseason brings and how our personnel shakes out.
Going back to Jordy, how big of an issue was it that he was an unbelievable deep threat for you guys that you didn't have that? I don't mean to make excuses, but James has got some limitations. Devontae, how much did that impact what you could do and what the defenses did to counter that?
Well, it's a component of your attack that. It's taken away, and you try to do more of it. We actually got to some of it in the Arizona game. Those routes that Jordy was so successful at, we had to get away from it some after Randall's injury, just because of we were down to three receivers and so forth. So, you go back to 2010, and it's a hard lesson that you have to learn as an offensive coordinator when you put so much offense in for one player. In that particular year was JerMichael Finley. We had a huge package for JerMichael going into the 2010 season. You rep it all off season, all training camp, and we lose him in Washington. So all that offense is gone. So it really makes you take a hard look at it, and you can't always put too much in for one player. We always have taught the passing game by concept, not by play, so that helps with the ability to move players in and out systematically, each week based on game plan and obviously injury. So,
I'm sorry.
No, just trying to give you a thorough answer.
I guess I was wondering, from if you can't throw it deep as well as you want to, I would, again, I'm not a coach, but does the defense just take away the underneath stuff, and is that kind of the root of a lot of what happened?
Well, you know, hey, I'll tell you this, and I've said this for a long time. You know, everybody wants to talk about passing game, speed of receivers. You know, philosophically, to me, to have a successful pass game, you have to have big targets that can run through the middle of the field. And whether it's a tight end, whether it's a big receiver, and you look at the production of Jordy when he went inside, you look at the production of Jermichael when he's inside, now you're dictating to the defense really what coverage they can play to you. And when you don't have that element or the element to complement that, you know, you see what we saw this year. You know, our run game was clearly better last year, and going into this year, probably in my time here, 10 years, clearly, you know, the way we were built up front with our offensive line and our two backs, you know, that's probably the best potential as I'm looking at the defense looking at us. You know, they're going to load up to stop the run. So, I mean, and on top of that, if they don't feel the threat down the middle of the field, you're a big-time threat on both the outsides. You're going to see three deep, three shell coverage and, you know, tight man-to-man, and where they're going to add an extra player to the box, to the run area very quickly. I mean, just look at the first play of the game of the Arizona game. I mean, we're in a three wide receiver set, and they're in an eight-man front, you know, which would be a nine-man front and two backs and one offense. That's the biggest commitment you can make to the run defensively. So, and that's what we saw a large part of the season.
Mike, when you have watched Jordy, I know you're working on your team, but when you watch Jordy on the side in his rehab, do you have every reason to think that he'll be back to the Jordy that he was?
I think Jordy will come back, you know, better than ever. I mean, just, you know, he was one of the players I had a chance to sit down and talk to, and he's just like you knew he would. I mean, he's just so far ahead with the rehab. I mean, he looks great. So, I mean, there's no reason to think that, you know, he won't be as good as new.
Like Aaron Rodgers' passer rating, less than it wasn't in previous seasons. How did he play this year and deal with it?
I'll tell you, I mean, this is the most adversity he had to play through probably since 08. So I thought, it, you know, in the big picture of things, you know, sitting down and visiting with him today, I thought he did a heck of a job dealing with that. So, you know, Aaron is, you know, he's that great player that plays at such a high level that, you know, the competition is usually with himself, you know, trying not to do too much. And I think he was really challenged this year more than ever because of, you know, what he was trying to pick up for with Jordy and so forth. And just the way we kind of came together here at the end of the season, you know, that's why I felt really strong that we were going to have a great opportunity to make a run here. So, you know, I thought he handled the adversity of all the things around him very well.
Mike, you always talk about the year one to year two jump, and you really wanted Richard and Devontae to make that. I don't know if you would feel like they made the jump you were hoping for them to make. How much do you need them to make a year two to year three jump for your offense to be what you want?
Well, I think both those guys need to, you know, definitely make a jump. And I'll tell you what happens in our, you know, in the coaching side of this is when the season's over, you sit down, you rank your players, and then we'll go back through all the cut-ups and review everything. You know, you'll go through every run, every pass, every third down, every situation. So you end up seeing, you know, the same play probably three or four times. And then what we do is then we go back and rank our players again. And it's, you know, coaches are human. I mean, and when you have the opportunity to take the emotion out of it, the evaluations are always different. They're always adjusted a little bit. So, but today I would definitely think those two guys need to step up. But, you know, we'll let the cut-ups answer that in more detail.